looking. I'm excited about being here today. It's good to see everybody. I'm glad you're here. I think we're going to have a great day. This is coming up is Thanksgiving. So that's one of my favorite holidays of the year. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. We're continuing on with these feasts and festivals. So kind of the series is created to celebrate. And one of the things that I'd like to do is there are the feasts and celebrations in the Bible, and we're going to be talking about one today. But it's also just amazing to me all the feasts and all the celebrations. And there's all kinds of crazy things that are celebrated, and some are really beautiful. Some are just kind of funny. Some were, I liked the Calgary Stampede. I mean, I thought that was a great celebration. I'd love to be there. And then here's another one that I've seen pictures, and I have never really been there for it, but I wouldn't mind. And it's called the Tomatina, and it's a tomato fight festival in Spain. It's in a town called Bunal, and then they break out. I've got a little video that's going to give you some. So this is kind of like by the end of the it has about an hour long tomato fight. I thought it kind of a little bit more fun to see a video of this. So here's a Spanish news report with subtitles by me. So let me just tell you right now, for all of you who are like very strong Spanish speakers or bilinguals or whatever you want to call it, this is not a legal document, and I did not try to put every single word translated perfect. I just had to give you the idea of what they're more or less talking about. So here we go. And we are on this. It's about a minute of fun. Tomatina.
Es el último miércoles de agosto y como manda la tradición, en Buñol, en Valencia, han pasado la mañana, ya lo ven, a tomatazo limpio. La batalla de vegetales más internacional ha contado esta vez con una munición de 160.000 kilos de tomates. La euforia de sus 22.000 participantes ha tomado las calles de la localidad que en su día grande de las fiestas dobla su población.
Bajo las medidas de seguridad más grandes de su historia se ha celebrado la tomatina. En el recinto, control absoluto.
Tapones de botella, el selfies, todo eso hay que dejarlo todo fuera. Mochilas tampoco.
Esta es una fiesta que no conoce fronteras.
The Netherlands?
The Netherlands?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
USA.
We are from Korea. Para saludar a toda la gente entomeada que estamos
toda
acá.
Argentina.
Singapore.
Previa del manguerazo, a las 11 en punto ha comenzado la batalla. Gran trabajo de los voluntarios que han velado por la seguridad de los asistentes.
Evitando que se metiera la gente en el recorrido del camión para no chafarla, ¿sabe? Y que pudiera pasar sin problemas el camión.
Como dice esta turista americana, aunque la hayas visto en vídeos, no es lo mismo, hay que venir.
You see it in videos, but it's not the same, you gotta come.
Yeah. Hay quien califica esta fiesta como la más divertida y loca del mundo.
This was the best festival I've ever been to in my life. This is crazy.
Y aunque parezca increíble, en unas horas Buñol estará completamente limpio.
Okay. You gotta be there. That's the only way you're gonna really understand. Oh wait, had one more thing I was gonna say about this. That, you know, it's kind of funny to me that some of the some things can inspire others. It says since 1982, the town of Twin Lakes in Lake County, Colorado, has held a tomato fight called the Colorado-Texas Tomato War, in which Texans and Coloradans square off. And since 2004, the Colombian town of Sutamarchan holds a similar event, the 15th of June. In Costa Rica, in the town of San Jose de Trojas, they celebrate a tomatina. In the town of Dongguo in southern Guangdong province in China, a tomato fight's held October 19th. They use up to 15 tons of tomatoes. City of Reno, Nevada in the United States also has an hour-long tomato fight that started in 2009. It's kind of an event for the American Cancer Society, and the organizers named the festival La Tomatina and give full credit to the idea from the Spanish festival. So the only one that was kind of a little bit of a party pooper here is the Indian state of Karnataka, and they banned the Tomatina event in India, and somebody said, hey, look, this is just a waste of tomatoes. Which I think they actually were right, but, you know, it is kind of a waste of tomatoes. So anyhow, but it was just like, hey, this looks like so much fun. And part of, there were some rules, you know, you couldn't take your selfie sticks and wave them around and hit people. You're supposed to crush the tomatoes before you throw them. I don't know if that's always done, but it's just, there's a lot of festivals. You know what? Because we're created to celebrate. Part of the reason I wanted to use that one is because that's a harvest festival. That's at the end of August when the tomato crop, and basically these are the surplus tomatoes that the price has dropped so bad that you can't really sell them, or it's not economically feasible to get much money, so then it's throw them around and have a big party. The festival today we're going to talk about is really, if chronologically among the main festivals of Israel, it's really the last one of the year. But it corresponds so well with Thanksgiving, I wanted to do that. And that's called, Sukkot. Sukkot is the Hebrew word, and we translate it booths, and some of the older translations put it as tabernacles. It's a festival to commemorate their time in wandering when they lived in little tents or booths. So that's kind of what happens with this. Let's look at the scripture on it. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the people of Israel, saying, on the 15th day of this seventh month, and for 7 days in the feast of booths is the feast of booths to the Lord. On the first day shall be a holy convocation. You shall not do any ordinary work. For 7 days you shall present food offerings to the Lord. On the eighth day you shall hold a holy convocation and present a food offering to the Lord. It is a solemn assembly. You shall not do any ordinary work. And then skipping a couple verses. On the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the produce of the land, you shall celebrate the feast of the Lord 7 days. On the first day shall be a solemn rest. On the eighth day shall be a solemn rest. And you shall take on the first day the fruit of splendid trees, branches of palm trees, and boughs of leafy trees, and willow of the brook. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. You shall celebrate it as a feast of the Lord for 7 days in the year. It is a statute throughout your generations. You shall celebrate it in the seventh month. And then this is you shall dwell in booths, and that's the Sukkot. You shall dwell in booths for 7 days. All native Israelites shall dwell in the booth, that your generation may know that I made the people of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. So that really, that last verse kind of, you know, okay, you're going to be 7 days, you're going to do some offerings, you're going to do this, you're going to do, so there's kind of a bunch, but really what happens is they build these booths, and the idea is to dwell in them, and, you know, that's kind of interpreted a little bit, differently by different people, but basically, I had some friends that were from Israel, and they used to do this. That was the first time I was ever exposed to it, probably in the 1990s. Way back before a bunch of you were born, but it was in the 1990s, and we would, I remember going to their house, and they go, oh, it's tabernacles, or booths, or Sukkot, I forget what they called it, and they had like a little booth with some palm fronds on the top, and then they had like a big spread with all this Israeli food, and it was really kind of fun. This is kind of cool, and they explained it, and kind of explained what it was, and then I've done a little bit more study about it since then, and so let's kind of just summarize what this festival is. So, first of all, it's on the seventh month. This year, it began on October 16th, and it went through to the 23rd. So it started on Sunday, October 16th at sunset, and it ended on the evening when sunset on the 23rd. That was the end of it. So that was the thing. Those were the 8 days. Now, what they did is, what you do is you set up your little booth, and to dwell in it. Some people actually go kind of sleep out there and live in this little booth. And that's if you want to really take it very literally. Some people, it's like, okay, let's have a booth. And so we eat our meals out there. And that's kind of dwelling. And it's kind of, it's so, you know, you could take it a lot of different ways. One of the things I was usually on these things, I go to Google Images and type in, you know, Sukkot or, you know, and I get some pictures and use that. But I had talked to Beth Fox, and they did this year. So they had their own little booth. So she sent me some pictures. And that was their setup. And I was talking to Joe about it this morning, kind of how they did it. And that's kind of cool. One of the things I think that about this is the little sign in the back says gratitude. And the booths serve two functions. Well, it serves, you know, as it said there in the text, it says this is to help you remember where you were. That you were wandering in the wilderness. You were, and they wandered around for 40 years. And so, yeah, now this generation doesn't remember that. But it's the reason for a lot of holidays, festivals, for all these things is to remember. We just had the Veterans Day last, you know, about 10 days ago. And that's to remember veterans. And that was originally called Armistice Day. And that was because World War I ended on the 11th day of the 11th month at the 11th hour. So it officially ended at 11 a.m. on the November 11th. And so that became, okay, let's celebrate that this war, that which was called the War to End All Wars, that it ended. And so we have this armistice, this peace has come, and so we're going to celebrate that. And so part of the reason it is the 11th day, the 11th hour of the 11th month is, well, number one, I like that because it's a little bit memorable. 11-11-11. Okay, I can kind of remember that. Too bad it wasn't 1911, then it would have even worked out better, but it was like 1919. So that has that. Or then Memorial Day. That's to remember people who've died in service of our country. 4th of July. You know, let's take the 4th of July. The 4th of July is to remember the day the United States became, it didn't really become an independent country on the 4th of July. It just declared that it was independent. And then you had to kind of like become actually independent. And then that's kind of like a lot of teenagers, like they declare themselves independent, but then you actually have to become independent. That's another issue. Then we have Christmas celebrates the birth of Christ. Easter is a celebration of the resurrection. So these are things to remember things. That's what we do them for. And so Sukkot is set up. You set the little tabernacle. You eat outside. You do this because you remember, you know what? We didn't always have a house. We as a people, we didn't have a house. We lived out in a tent. We lived in a little booth, a shelter that was set up with some palm fronds or something over us to protect us. But we could see, one of the requirements for these is, a lot of people say, is that you have to be able to see the sky through the roof. In other words, it's like they make them out of palm fronds, they make them out of leaves, they make them out of branches. So you're not really protected here. But and then I think to compare that with where you are today, we're here. We were wandering, we were this, we were that, and we're not. And I did take a second shot of the foxes thing. I did like the second one that evening with the little campfire out there by the thing. Look, number one, it's fun. Who doesn't want to do this? Like, I want to build one at my house. I want to go have a little fire out at night and eat some, I don't really care what the food is, but it'll be, you know, I could totally go non-kosher with ham, you know, and I'd be fine. But I could eat some other thing. That I love Middle Eastern food. I love all that stuff. That'd be great. And you know what? Then to remember, look, this is where we are. This is where we've been. This is why we're here. And this is what we're doing. So now this ties in really well and connects with our Thanksgiving. Because our Thanksgiving comes in the same time of the year. It's at the seventh month. That puts it in October. Our Thanksgiving is November, but it's really like a lot of the foods that are eaten on Sukkot or booths are harvest foods because it's the time of the year. So you're going to get pumpkin things. You're going to get squash things. You're going to get foods that are like coming grapes, things that are harvested right now and this time of year. And so some people suggest that Thanksgiving, it wasn't just a coincidence that there's quite a few similarities between Thanksgiving that we celebrate, the first Thanksgiving of the pilgrims, and Sukkot. One thing is that before the pilgrims came to United States, or what the colonies, or America, I guess is what we would call it at that point, before they came here, they spent 10 years in Holland. And Holland was an area that has always been a refuge. And one of the persecuted peoples that were there were the pilgrims who were persecuted in England, but also Jews who had come from Spain, the Sephardic Jews. They were there. They spent 10 years living in the same vicinity as other persecuted people who were Jews, and the Jews did this Sukkot. Then when the pilgrims came over here, and then they had been exposed. They read the Old Testament, so they read the verses, and they knew that. Then they had been exposed to people who had done this, so then it doesn't really come as an overshock that when they were here and they finally had a harvest, that they had a celebration. We don't really know the dates of that. This whole, the end of November date, that was fixed in the 1930s. So we don't really know when it was. For certain parts of the country, it's a little late to have a outdoor feast is, the end of November. But so we're not really sure about that. But the modeling is the same. The food, the eating, the Thanksgiving things. The whole point of Sukkot or Tabernacles is to give thanks to God for what he's done, how he's brought them out. And then this year we have this harvest, and we went from, the children of Israel wandering around with no home, with no place to live, with really, and one of the big issues in the books of the law is the food. Oh man, we're really tired of this light bread. Could we have some meat, please? And then, then they're punished with too many quail and all that. But the whole point is, now we're in the land flowing with milk and honey. Now we have crops. Now we have food. Now we have fruit. Now we have this. And you know what? Let's step back and go stay in our booth for a week and remember where we came from. And I think this is such a huge thing for us to look back and go, wow, you know what? Look where we've come. Look where we've been. Look what God is doing. Look at how God brought us to here. And so many times we're just thankful or not thankful. But Thanksgiving is such a great time to just remember, God set this up like he set them up with a Thanksgiving called Sukkot, a time to remember and reflect and go, hey, look what God's done. And I think that it's crucial. Now, one tradition that some people have associated with Thanksgiving is they put 5 kernels of corn on the plate. Because in 1621 was the first Thanksgiving. But when they had this bountiful harvest, they had to pay off the ship that had brought them over. So the ship ended up with most of that. They had their Thanksgiving dinner, but then they had to give most of their crops to the ship, to the people who backed them, and that was their payment for getting them over across the sea. Well, then they kind of had another time of year that was pretty tough. So things went bad. So then Governor Bradford said that he rationed the food down to where it was at one point, everyone was rationed 5 kernels of corn per day. That's what you got. And so then in the 1623, when they started, the crops came back and things were better. And now they had they served the dinner, but they put 5 kernels of corn there because it helps you remember. Hey, you know what we had? Remember last year? Remember when we had that? Remember that's what you had for the day? I'm sure nobody was dealing with obesity issues at that point, because the 5 kernels of corn per day, I'm sure they were trying to fish or whatever else they could do. But as far as the grain, you weren't getting much. And part of, I think this, like, is we sit there, you know, if you think of, you get your little 5 grains of popcorn or 5 grains of sweet corn or 5 grains, set them on your plate and go, man, you know, we have this, there's turkey, mashed potatoes, stuffing, vegetables, yams, all this stuff, plus pumpkin pie, plus this, plus that, plus the other. And you know what? Look at that. 5 kernels of corn. Part of it's like, well, wait a second. God is so good to provide so graciously for us. And so much of life is keeping this perspective on life of, you know what? God is good, and I need to be thankful. And sometimes, you know, I always like it that God promises to meet all of your needs, but he doesn't promise to meet all of your wants. And part of that is because I think for a lot of people, God couldn't meet all your wants. Because, well, I want everything. And I want the earth, the moon, the stars, anything else, I'll take that too. But you're not the only one in the world, so it's kind of hard. Well, what if there's 2 people that both want that? You know, there's this dilemma. You can't do it. It can't be done. Okay, but God promises to meet all your needs. I heard a talk about child rearing the other day. I thought it was kind of interesting. And he was saying that his formula was, give your children everything they need, and then about a quarter of what they want. Because they need to hear, no, you can't have that, but not completely. Like, no, 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 yes, no, 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 yes, no, yes, no, 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 yes, no. Like part of it is learning to accept that I didn't get everything I want, but I can still be thankful, is huge. Look, when this same feast is described over in Deuteronomy, it says you should keep the Feast of Booths 7 days. When you have gathered in produce from your threshing floor and your wine press, you shall rejoice in your feast, you and your son and your daughter and your male servant and your female servant, the Levite, the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow who are within your towns. For 7 days you shall keep the feast to the Lord your God at the place that the Lord will choose, because the Lord your God will bless you in all your produce and in all the work of your hands, so that you will be altogether joyful. So part of this celebration that's within us, this desire, this kind of instinct to celebrate, God put that there for a reason. And I think what drives it is, you know what? If I'm celebrating Veterans Day, you know what? I'm thankful for what those guys did. If I'm celebrating Christmas, man, I'm thankful Jesus came. If I'm celebrating Easter, I'm thankful that Jesus rose from the dead and paid for my sins and had given me victory over death. I'm thankful that for all of these things. And part of this is when we're thankful, we can be joyful. And if we're unthankful, in Romans it describes, look, the people who've rejected God, it describes them as unthankful, unholy, you know, like it goes on and on, but unthankful is a huge part. And walking around today and asking ourselves, Lord, what can I be thankful for? In the New Testament, one of the things I like, this is probably one of my favorite go-to verses. I've got another one here that I need as well. But this one is Ephesians 5. Look carefully then how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So, in our walk, day by day, let's be wise, not unwise. Let's use our time in a good way, in a way, like I like this. It says, you make the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, don't be foolish, understand. Don't get drunk with wine, for that's debauchery. But be filled with the Spirit. You know, it's funny because I've had, years ago, I used to have like friends, and we had, like when I was in seminary and different places, well, they all want to argue about what being filled with the Spirit means. And well, it's this, it's that, it's the other. But one of the things I like is here it says, be filled with the Spirit. And then it says, To me, it's like, well, this is what this means. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making a melody to the Lord with your heart. I think, number one, if you're filled with the Spirit, you're going to be happy. To me, somebody who's walking around singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, making a melody in their heart to the Lord, man, you're happy. That's a happy person. And then he says, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so often things happen and we're, oh, this isn't what I want. It's not what I want. It's not what I wanted. It's not. And you know what? Lord, thank you. I don't know what you're doing. I don't understand what you're doing. I don't see the benefit in this at this point. But Lord, I trust you and I thank you for bringing into my life what you are bringing into my life. And you, listen, I don't know how it's good. I know that Karl Marx called religion the opiate of the people. He had a bit of a point. Because you know what? Opiates take away your pain. And part of the pain that we suffer is, I don't get what I want and I'm going to throw a fit. I don't get what I want and I'm never going to accept it. I don't get, and you know what? That just brings pain to your life. But if there's really a God who really knows what you really need and he's in control, then and you're allowing him to control your life, then you can give thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Lord, I didn't want this. Well, you know what? Part of the thing is God, we rejoice in the harvest celebration that, hey, this is great. We're going to sit around. We're going to eat turkey. We're going to have mashed potatoes. We're going to have stuffing, gravy, you know, all the good stuff. That cranberry sauce, I kind of like that on that meat, you know, that kind of gives that little tang to it. It's all good, right? But that's why you kind of go back to the five corns. Put the little five corns there. Why? The five little grains of corn. Why? Because you know what? Well, I you know, at our Thanksgiving dinner the other night, we had a great time. We had funny games. We had great food. We had just a great time. It was just a great time of fellowship. I had that guy that I know, Scott, that had donated meat. We used it at the anniversary. We had those shoulder meat. Well, then there was one left in the freezer, so I decided I was going to cook it. And then, you know, it's been sitting here for quite a while, so let's just cook this up. And then Mary Lynn told me, you know, hey, this is not a traditional Thanksgiving food. I'm like, yeah, but it's roast beef. Like, how can you go wrong? You know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't really matter. It's like, I'm thankful. You know what? I want to honor that cow that gave its life for us to enjoy that evening. And I really do thank that cow. That, you know what? You know, God is great. And he provides. And he's good. And enjoying it. But you know what? It's nice to remember, hey, and well, maybe I'm in the time right now where I'm building up the memory so that I'll appreciate something else later on in my life. Maybe, I don't know. But God, I don't know what you're doing. But I know that you know what you're doing. And I know that I can thank you for what's happening in my life. And that is kind of like the bottom line of where you're going to, number one, you're going to find true happiness there. And number two, you're going to display what being filled with the Holy Spirit means to other people. And we talked about this on Thursday morning in our men's study. And we were saying, and we talked about how this affects people around you and how being thankful and having a thankful spirit and being thankful for everything that comes into your life and how that's like, wow, what's God doing in your life? And that's true. It helps you reflect the love of Christ, the what God's doing in your life to other people. But I think even, I don't know if it's more important, but just as important, is that you'll be at peace. Like, I'm not trying to make you all selfish about this, but you know what? If you're thankful for everything, you're going to be happy. Why not? why not? Talk about these couple things. So here's my summary of Booth's Thanksgiving. First of all, take some time to reflect. This is a good time of the year, Thanksgiving Day. Maybe it's the end of the year. I don't know when you're going to do this. But you know what? Sit down and kind of look through your calendar. Go, hey, well, I remember when I did this. I was talking to, yesterday Mike was here, Mike McAsey, and Deanna's family was having a little meal over here at in the fellowship hall yesterday evening. They were fixing some stuff, and Mike McAsey was here with her. They were preparing some chili and stuff, and I was talking to him. I started telling him about my trip to Israel. Wow, that was, I asked him if he'd ever been. No, he hasn't been, but he'd really like to sometime. And I told him, oh, that's what happened to me, and I really went, and it was just great. And I started telling him, well, this day he did this, and I'm all, because you know what? Like, I think that the fact that I was, 60 years old when I went on that trip, and I'd kind of wanted to do that for a long time, I appreciated it more than I would have if God would have sent me there when I was 20 years old. I still probably would have enjoyed it. But I don't think I would have appreciated it. I think God knows what you need when you need it. And sometimes you go through your life. Maybe this year you've got some things that are kind of hard. Maybe this year it's been kind of like the time of Joseph where you've got the skinny cows. And it just seems like, man, nothing's going right. And I don't really know. But maybe God's doing that so you'll appreciate the years of the fat cows. Maybe I don't know what he's doing. I'm just guessing. I'm just saying, whatever's happening, trust that God is preparing your life for what he has for you. And he wants to work in you and through you. And as we go, yes, Lord, I'll do what you say. Yes, Lord, I'll appreciate what you're doing. Yes, Lord, thank you, Lord. All of a sudden, he changes us. And then kind of that goes along with reflect. Today I just couldn't resist because, that's another R-E, resist. I could not do that, but I have a little bit of alliteration here that I don't normally use. But hey, reflect, remember, you start thinking, kind of look through the calendar, then you remember these events. Then you remember what happened. And you remember, wow. I on Thursday I was saying, well, one of the things I kind of was, as I look at it now, there's, some things you're just not really happy that they happen. And I don't know that you're ever going to just really be thankful that that particular event happened. And I'm not trying to say that. But I was thinking, but in the middle of any event, there's some good things that come out of it. And you can usually spot there's something there. Now, I was thinking about a couple months ago when my dad died. And that was painful. But then since then, I've had really a lot of opportunities to interact way more with my brother and sister and to get to be, to help them and issues that come up and give the opportunity to work with those issues and help solve those issues and be part of it and things that just wouldn't come up otherwise. And so in the middle of things that really, how can this be good? I don't know how it can be good, honestly. And there's things that come up in your life that you're like, I don't know how this could possibly be good. And I get it. I don't know how it could be good either. But I do know that God knows a lot more than I do. And I know God knows a lot more than you do. And God has a lot bigger perspective than any of us. And I know that he loves us. I know that he sent his son who died for us because he cares for us. And I know those things. So as I remember them, reflect and remember, that allows me to rejoice. And as I rejoice and have, wow, you know what? Look what God's done. Look, I don't know, what's this mess? I don't know, but I know God's doing something. And I'll trust him. And then you know what? Then I can all of a sudden live at peace. I can have joy. I like that verse that talks about, well, there's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Well, joy unspeakable, what does that mean? It's joy that I can't really describe. But it's amazing. And God wants to give you that joy that's unspeakable. I was thinking another verse that I really like here that kind of goes along with the part in Ephesians is in Colossians. There's a kind of a parallel passage. And it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another with all wisdom, with psalms, with singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, with thanksgiving in your heart. And this whole thing, it always boils down to Let the word of Christ dwell richly in you. Why? How? With thanksgiving. Being thankful. The pilgrims, or these pilgrims or Puritans, they didn't believe in having holidays, set yearly observance holidays. So, but they did believe in you could have a day of thanksgiving, which would be kind of modeled after Sukkot. So they wouldn't say, we're having Sukkot, we're having the day of the Feast of Booths. But they would say, well, let's have a day of thanksgiving. They didn't want to have things ritualized or whatever. I'm kind of puritanical at heart in that sense, because I don't really like rituals that happen all the time. I just don't. But there is a place for thanksgiving. And it's like every day. But it's kind of nice to take a day. And, hey, let's give thanks. Let's appreciate where we came from. Let's look at what's happened. And, you know, hey, I remember when we were living here, or this was hard and that was hard, and look how God's provided. I remember when this happened or that happened, and look how God brought us through it. I remember when, you know, I was thinking God gave me a bit of a lesson the other night after the Thursday evening event. I went home and my kids, I've always, believe it or not, I can be a bit of a smart aleck. I realize that's hard for you to imagine. But my kids, you know, people walk around the house and they hit their feet on stuff. And I go, look, that's why we wear shoes, guys. Okay? And then the other night, I was getting ready for bed and I had my shoes off. That was really bad. And then I was in a hurry. Believe it or not, occasionally I'm in a hurry. Like for everything I do, I run around. And so then I caught my little toe on the bed. It was like, ooh. And I heard this like crunching sound. And then my toe, you know how your feet are kind of like this? But then my little toe was like this. And it was like, oh. And I'm still remembering that event, if you get my drift. Anyhow, the... Kathy hurt her feet a couple of times, so she gave me some good advice. It had to do with ice and soaking and things. But you know what? It's like, wow. There are so many lessons to learn in life. And you think you've learned them all because, hey, I'm 61 years old. No, there's another lesson. You know, when somebody else gets hurt, man, don't make fun of it. Don't give them a hard time. It hurts. Okay? And you know what? And God's going to be telling me this every step I take for the next few days. Hey, you know what? It hurts. Hey, you know what? I'm really thankful for when it doesn't hurt. It's funny how I don't think there's a smaller, it's the smallest digit we have, right? Our little toe, this big. But man, you get it going off to left field and it can get your attention really fast. Listen, there's all kinds of lessons. God teaches us all kinds of ways. And everything that's happening in your life, God's doing something. God, you go, well, that was your stupid fault for not watching where you're... Yeah, that's definitely part of it. But it's also an opportunity for God to teach you things. For God to show you that, hey, there's just some great lessons to learn here. And we can learn every day. And I can be thankful for that. So listen, what I want to encourage you to do today, we're going to take a minute and we're going to pray. But before I start praying, I just want to have it quiet for a minute. And what I'd like you to do is take a few moments and just reflect, remember, and rejoice, and just be thankful. Like, have God, you know, there's that old hymn that we used to sing back in, when I was first saved, it was called Count Your Blessings. It says, count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. And I want to give you a moment just to take a minute and say, and start, like, have God put into your mind or ask God to show you some things that have happened that you can be thankful for. And just name them in your mind one by one. Wow, I have my family, or I have a friend, or I have an opportunity, or I have an opportunity to grow. I have an opportunity to learn to accept something. I have there's like, what is it? I don't know what it is, but it is. And then afterwards, we have some snacks again that kind of go along with the Sukkot thing. And I'm not exactly sure. I saw some grapes. So last night I got home and I'd kind of forgotten about this. And so I went and nobody was there when I got there. So I went into Maria and Michael's house and looked in the refrigerator naturally. And then there were a bunch of grapes there. So I'm like, oh, grapes. I don't know what she's going to do with all these grapes. So I took a bag of them and basically ate them. And then they come in and go, hey, we got the grapes for tomorrow after. Ooh. So before I came to church, I went by Smart and Final, bought a couple more bags of grapes. So we have grapes, guys. But so I know grapes are there, a part of the mix. I love grapes. But you know what? Beth, Katie, Monique, Maria have been doing these. Last week was great. The week before that was great. We have good plans. If you want to be part of that, talk to one of them. But I'm really thankful. And you know what? Let's rejoice. Let's be thankful. Let's take a moment. We're going to reflect, remember, rejoice, be thankful, and then take a few minutes and kind of celebrate together. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you. I thank you for the chapel at Grossmont. I thank you for this place we can meet. I thank you for the Grossmont Baptist Church and their willingness to merge with us as the chapel. I thank you for all the new people who've come. I thank you for every person that's in this room. I thank you for the impact and influence they've had on my life. I pray that you would use your word and your spirit to work in our lives. I pray that we would be people who are filled with your Holy Spirit, that we would have joy and happiness. We would speak to each other with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, that we would be making a melody in our heart to you, and that we would do it with thanksgiving in everything that you have. I pray that as we approach this day of thanksgiving that we have as a nation, that we would take time that day and maybe sit around the table and go, hey, I'm thankful for, and have everybody just share, because that's what it is. It's a day to remember, a day to be thankful. And Lord, there's no joy. If there's no thankfulness, there's no joy. And if there's no thankfulness, there's no peace. And really, without thankfulness, it's really hard to have love. Lord, just help us to be thankful people. Help us to be people who appreciate the things that you put into our lives. And help us to share the joy that comes with that with other people, and allow us to be witnesses and a testimony. And Lord, may we bring more people. We bring somebody next week as we talk about the next feast and what that is and how that affects us and how you've set these things up for us, Lord. A moment to be thankful, a moment to rejoice, a moment to recognize the things you've done and to be blessed. We pray that you would work in our lives and that we would share that blessing with others. We thank you in Jesus' name.